Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of the Directed IRA Podcast. My name is Mark Kohler, and I'm here with the man, the myth, the legend, the child prodigy, prodigy. Got to say that right. Mr. Matt Swanson.
I am 40. So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, once you're a child prodigy, you're always a prodigy, aren't you? Like,
I mean, I don't know. My childhood, you know. Yeah. I don't know if anybody was saying that
Bobby
back
Fischer.
Then, but I'll take it.
Okay. Bobby Fischer was a child prodigy with chess.
Yeah.
And he still retains that title.
Yeah. I remember when Mark and I started working together, I was working for Mark, you know, as like first associate, and he was trying to get some clients to work with me, and he'd introduce me and be like, cause I was like 25. I don't know. I think people looked at me like, is this guy like an intern? Who is he? Like, he's a child prodigy. He's a child prodigy. You're good.
He's a genius. He's a genius. Well, yeah. We're excited to be here today. I've got Matt Swanson, of course, the CEO of Directed IRA and the author of the Self-Directed IRA Handbook. I'm holding a copy right here in front of me. We should give this away sometime. We should give it away today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how we do that. We're going to give it away.
Okay. We'll figure out a way. By the end of the podcast, we'll let that marinate.
Yeah.
We'll marinate it. And Mark will sign it for you.
Yeah. And I'll sign it for you. It'll be worth more. Okay. Corey said, here's the rule. If any of you share this podcast or it's on YouTube or some method, we will go and look at all the shares in the next day or two. Is that okay?
Yes.
And then Corey's going to randomly select two winners.
Comment who shared.
Comment new share. Okay. And then I want you to choose a male and a female. Okay. And that means any of you that have kind of a dronymous name, you're shot. Because
or you can win, but twice.
That's true. You could win twice.
You're in both. Yeah, you're in both. You're in both pools.
You know, anybody out there? I'm in the country, so Stacy. You can always have a Stacy guy or a Stacy girl. It's kind of it's kind of a farmer name.
Okay. You know. Yeah. But, okay.
Okay.
All right. Well,
tell us about the topic, Matt.
Yeah, we're talking about Roth accounts, Roth IRAs, and Roth 401ks. We don't care what you have as long as it's Roth. Because let me just make sure Roth equals tax-free. Okay. That's why Roths are so cool. It is the only way to make money from your investments, not pay taxes, and stay out of jail. Okay. So that, you know, and this first piece, the Roth IRA, is what's key. So we're going to talk about that, how you get to Roth. For those of you that are like, man, I've got traditional dollars. I've been taking tax deductions. I got hooked on the fun of all the tax deductions every year. I went traditional. Now I want to swing back Roth. Okay. We've got some strategies on how to get over to Roth.
And I think this is an important, fair statement to begin with. We're going to talk about all the little tricks. I've sometimes shot some videos called the sweet spot of the Roth conversion. You'll see other videos out there called the conversion ladder. There's a trick. We call it chunking at times. But here's the point. We really feel like the Roth's a place to be, just like Matt said. And in the long run, the more you can get to Roth, the better. In all the models, the financial models, and I'm sick and it wins. And I'm sick and tired of people going, well, you're going to be in a lower tax bracket when you retire. I don't want that. That's the last thing I want. I want to be in the highest tax bracket of my life when I retire. Essentially. But so people are like, well, you know, and so I think the Roth is where you want to be. And so if you will just live with us on that for this episode, just accept that proposition for a moment. It's not a prepositional phrase. Sorry. It's a proposition, meaning I am presenting that to you as a valid fact. Live with it for a moment. And then see what this episode does for you. Because there's a lot of fun little rules and tricks and nuances that I think you're really going to like. So,
yeah.
Is that a good intro? Are we ready to go?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's start back in 2012. Okay. Huh. This is where the story of the Roth conversions begin.
Okay. All right.
We'll go back to 2012.
I feel like a story is coming on. Let's snuggle up on the couch, a little fireplace action, and that's telling us a story. Yeah. Okay.
Let me set the scene. George W. Bush is president. Okay.
Is dad or son?
This is second. This is W.
W. Okay, W.
W, if you will.
It's all nebulous. A bush.
Yeah, and here was what was going on at the time. If you were high income, you couldn't convert to Roth. Okay, in 2012, you know, before COVID and Trump, you know, if you would have thought Trump's going to be president back then, I mean, the world we live in, whew, different. But anyways, 2012 is when the Roth conversion income restriction was lifted. So a lot of people, even your financial advisors and some accountants, are still slow to this, thinking, no, you can't convert your high income. No, anyone can convert from traditional to Roth regardless of income. There is still an income restriction on regular Roth IRA contributions, and there's a backdoor Roth IRA method around that. We have other content on that. But for converting, there has not been an income restriction since 2012. So don't worry about that. Regardless of income, you'll be able to convert to Roth. Okay. It's for everyone now.
Yeah.
It's for everyone.
And it's this is where, okay, maybe point number two. Mm-hmm. In this story, this is where the backdoor Roth evolved.
Yeah.
I would like to say that Mr. Sorensen, with me as a close second, we were at the forefront of that strategy. We were talking about it years ago, 8-9 years ago. We continue to talk about it. Some people play like it's this new found plutonium, you know. No, it's been around 10 years and we've been talking about it. And there's still even financial advisors that have no clue about this. Clients bump into us all the time with legitimate accounting firms that have never talked about the backdoor Roth. So we have another podcast on this topic. We've got, Matt's got a chapter in his book on it. We've got videos on this. But I would just say this, keep in mind, anybody at any income can have a Roth. If you've heard anything to the contrary, you're getting bad advice. So put that aside as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what we're going to talk about today is converting to Roth. Okay. You have some traditional dollars that you got a tax deduction on to put it in. This could be your traditional IRA, your SEP IRA, your 401k at work where you got your day job, your solo 401k. All right. These are the traditional dollars, let's call them that, that you got a tax deduction to put in. And when it comes out right now, it's going to be taxed on the way out. And you're like, no. I want to stop that madness. I want to pay all the tax now on what I want to convert. And then I want it to come out later at retirement, totally tax-free. Okay. That's what we're shooting for here as we're talking about converting to Roth.
Okay. Now this is good. We're hitting all these folks. This is like batting practice. We're hitting all these little base hits.
I'm baby stepping.
Yeah.
What about Bob? I got that movie reference in already.
Yeah, there you go.
What's the doctor's name? What's Richard Dreyfuss? Doctor. Oh. He calls him by his first name. Doctor. Anyways, I'm baby stepping. Oh, it's the best. Oh, that's a great show.
I remember. This is so good. I've got a couple movie references to throw in here too. But here's another little concept that we all have to come to grips with. And this is a political statement. Matt always says, Mark, be careful what you say. I'm the one that can stick his foot in his mouth with my drama and excitement for things. it is proposed by the Biden administration to increase the tax rates on anybody making more than $450,000 a year. We don't know where that cutoff will be for singles, head of household, or married. Right now, the 37% rate kicks in at $518,000 if you're single, $622,000 if you're married. Biden wants to bring that threshold down and add another bracket, the 39% bracket. He also wants to increase capital gains rates for people over a certain bracket. So what this tells us is if you're going to convert to a Roth and you're already in the highest bracket, this could be the year to rip the Band-Aid off. Let's just get it done. And we've had clients that are like, I'm going to drain my savings account over here to pay the taxes and never pay the taxes again, which is freaking cool. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, when to convert, we're going to get through here on this chunking strategy. You know, you have to pay tax on what amount you convert from traditional to Roth. If I want to convert $100,000 of traditional to Roth, I'm going to pay tax on that $100,000. There's strategies on how to minimize that. We're going to go over that. But the rates on what you, your regular income bracket is determines the rate you pay. So if they're going to go up here soon with the Biden administration, if this is going to pass through Congress, you know, and who knows if it's going to continue to keep going up, we just don't know. So if you think taxes are going to go up in the future, if you think that's a likelihood, your political, you know, instincts are just as good as Mark and I's on that. You know, I think it's probable, more likely than not, it's going to go up than go down. Then it's more advantageous to start converting now.
Okay. Now let's talk another important strategy here, Matt, before we get to the brackets, yeah, because we want to say, when should we convert based on the bracket we're in? So that's going to be the climax of the show, if you will. And I've got a whiteboard here that I've drawn. In fact, Matt and I took almost a half an hour before the show started to really nail down the brackets and these sweet spots, if you will. Here's another important point. Now, this is tricky, and I'm not suggesting anything fraudulent or deceptive with the IRS. But we could be strategic in the way that we choose what asset and what value it might be now, anticipating what the value might be in the future. For example, if I've got a raw piece of land right here, and I know there might be a overpass on a freeway coming into that area of my, where I have this raw land that's worth nothing right now. It's not insider trading because you're not trying, you know, this isn't the SEC regulated public company. This is your land. Now, if the appraising world out there and you hire a bona fide appraiser to give an appraisal of this land and it's worth $100,000 right now, but you know there's a good chance some sort of overpass might come in, you can convert it at the $100,000 value now. And when the overpass is announced or built or whatever, it's now worth $500,000.
Yeah.
You only pay tax on the $100,000. I mean, you just get that swing. Maybe another example, Matt. Maybe a crypto example.
I see clients come in quite a bit that if you have a deal that is going to be a home run, okay, and that this is the concept, just big picture. If you have a deal that you know is going to be a home run where you're going to make, you know, double the money, 5x, 10x, whatever, you're insane to do that with a traditional account. Convert that smaller amount now before the huge gain to Roth, and then you're going to have this war chest of such after that deal of Roth dollars to keep just doing the same thing over and over. And what I've seen with clients that have our largest Roth accounts, and we have hundreds of clients with $1 million Roth IRAs, many with 10 million and a couple with 100 million plus. That's how they did it. They did a few initial deals in there with a little pot of money that were home runs that got them to a million. And then once you're at a million, it's easier to get up to 10. And then, you know, it just keeps, you just keep snowballing and it keeps growing. So, I've seen it on clients. I've seen it on everything.
Yeah.
Real estate is the common one because real estate's one where you can find an opportunity that, and where you have a competitive advantage. Yeah. It's not like it's on the marketplace and hundreds of millions of people are looking at the stock every day deciding whether to buy it or sell it. It's like, no, I found a unique deal and opportunity where I saw there was value where no one else was. And so those are the things you can kind of hit home runs on, grow the Roth.
Yeah, I love it. Well, okay. I was going to say the crypto example. If you have crypto in a traditional IRA, this could be a chance. Or even if you want to do a contribution of some amount through a backdoor Roth, you might be able to contribute some. But the point is, if the market's down in a particular month or day, and you have, again, some insight into a quite a risky market. We all admit that. We're not, you know, encouraging anyone to put their life savings in cryptocurrency. But there's some IT people out there that a lot of times know what coin might be a home run before me, Joe Schmo, Mark Kohler figure it out. So that would be the one to convert to Roth at this low, 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 low value, and then do it to a Roth. Now, Matt, let's talk about a self-directed format. If I want to do a Roth conversion, there's a specific format, directed IRA, and I do need an appraisal. Could you walk us through the steps for a moment?
Yeah. So you'll have a Roth conversion form and an election. So you have to do it in writing, request it with your custodian of directed IRA. You know, we'll process that for you. Now, cash is the easiest. I always tell clients, if you're trying to convert, simple with cash. Fill out the form. It's one page. Sign it. Tell us how much cash to convert. We'll do it that day or tomorrow. You know, it's pretty easy. And I'm going to just take the value of your cash that we convert. And that's what's going to, we're going to report to the IRS as a Roth conversion and send you a 1099 R4. All right. Now, if you have an in-kind, what's called, you have an asset, let's say it's real estate that you already own in your IRA, in your traditional IRA, and you want to convert that to Roth, you can do what's called an in-kind Roth conversion, but we need an appraisal of the property. Or let's say it's an LLC. We'll need an appraisal of the LLC. We need to know what the value is so we can convert that. So that does take some work. If you are converting in kind, it's a little more difficult because it requires an appraisal.
I would also encourage you to keep in mind as we start to get to really, we're almost to the chunking topic. You want to keep in mind what other gains and losses you might be able to harvest at the time you do the conversion. For example, let's say you're sitting on a piece of real estate in your personal name that's at a loss right now, or you've got another loss from some depreciation or a cost segregation. Maybe you're a real estate professional. Maybe you need to harvest a loss on a bad debt expense or something. Not all losses are created equally. So you got to talk to your accountant. Would this loss offset my Roth conversion? But this is a topic you want to think about because before December 31st, you have to do the conversion. You used to, the good old days, you could do a reclassification of how much you converted later. That's gone. So at December 31st, that's D-Day. Whatever I'm going to convert for 2021, that's it. But before you do it, talk to your accountant. Say, hey, I got this loss over here. I got this gain over here. I've got my W-2 here. I've got all this here. You want to get a really, really good picture in November, December as to what you think you're going to have as income as you make this decision to convert.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of clients last year who were, you know, self-employed or business owners that got kind of pummeled by the pandemic financially, had some losses or had lower income than typical. That's a perfect opportunity and time to convert to Roth. And so if some of you are in that situation now, again, in 2021, unfortunately, the silver lining is this could be a beneficial time in the long run, in the grand scheme of things, to be converting to Roth. Now, keep in mind, when you convert, so let's say you convert now, this is going to be on your 2021 tax return. Okay. It's not up until April 15th. Okay. So if you were trying to do a 2020 Roth conversion, you had to do that by December 31st. Okay. So don't think you get till April 15th, like they do for contributions to do conversions. Ooh, that sounded nice.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. That was a good snap.
I did that right on the microphone because I'm a tax attorney rock star. If I may be so bold, because I am trying to schmooze the corporate, you know, heads at PepsiCo to say, you know what, we need to sponsor Mark Kohler. That guy, he takes care of us. Every show, he cracks a rock store open. Well, Matt, we need to do a commercial break here.
Okay.
For all of you fans out there, I am holding a cold Rockstar Recovery non-carbonated lemonade, only 10 calories, no sugar.
Only 10?
Only 10.
Wow.
I'm gonna put this to my sweet mouth here and just enjoy a long, cool drink. That's what rock stars do. They drink rock stars. So if you're going to be a rock star accountant, a rock star tax attorney helping America, you got to drink rock star. So you folks at PepsiCo, I got your back. Call me.
Okay.
Call me. All right.
All right. Okay.
All right. Back on track. Okay, now here's another important point before chunking, Matt. Now this is a tricky one.
I have one more too.
Yeah,
I got two.
I was going to come to you. Why don't let's do yours because I think you're going to talk about the 5-year, right?
Yep.
Okay, talk about that.
That's one of them.
Okay.
Okay. So here's one of the rules when you convert. I want to know when can I get the money out? If I convert to Roth, Matt, I got to pay the tax now. And so let's take that $100,000 example. I have $100,000 in traditional IRA. I want to convert to Roth. I want to get that money out if I want it. Okay. Well, you got to wait 5 years before that money is going to come out tax and penalty free. And you want to hit 59.5, of course, to make sure you can get the earnings and the principal amount you converted out. So 5 years and 59.5, once you've hit both of those markers, the whole Roth IRA is going to come out tax free. Now that 5-year rule is per conversion. So as we get in here to the chunking strategies, you're going to have a five-year rule every year you convert. For that set of funds that you convert, you're going to have to wait 5 years before you can pull it out with no tax or penalty.
And the appreciation on that amount.
And the appreciation on that amount. Okay. Now, keep in mind, the appreciation on that amount, you got to wait till you're 59 and a half to get out. Let's say you're 45 and you convert 25 grand. Let's say you're going to chunk it over 4 years. We'll get to this. But let's say you take 25 grand now. Well, if I wait 5 years until I'm 50, I can at least get that 25 grand out, no tax. Just like a Roth contribution, when you put the money in, you can always take that back out. But the earnings, there's no way I'm going to get that out until 59 and a half.
Okay. Okay. Now, here's a let's add another variable. Let's say I'm 57 and I do a Roth conversion. I have to wait 5 years to get the contribution amount out, but I can get the appreciation amount out in 2.5 years.
The whole thing is 5 years. Wait five. Yep, the whole thing.
Okay. All right. Now, okay, now let's do another nuance to this. This can get tricky, everybody. So if you're driving down the road, I've got some good – I've got the People magazine here. We're going to give an update on Brad and Jen here in a minute. But on a technical note, for those that want to dive deep here, when you want to have a Roth IRA and you're in your 40s or 50s, sometimes people go, well, am I too old to do a Roth? Oh, you're never too old to do a Roth. You can do a Roth at any age. And also, that time value of money is a big deal because you want to get that money in there growing and it'll come out tax-free. Well, let's say you have a traditional IRA and you're now 58. And you're like, well, I'm going to open a Roth now. Well, whenever you open a Roth or convert a traditional to Roth, it's the same point. You have to wait 5 years or you're 59 and a half, whichever is longer. So a lot of times I tell clients, hey, if you're 54, just open a Roth account. Get that Roth started so that you've got that 5 years ticking. But Matt, what about contributions to the Roth when I'm 58? Does a contribution have to wait 5 years or is it when I open the account?
No. Yeah, the contribution, you're fine. You're going to have, you must have a, well, let me say this. If you're 58 and barely starting a Roth, yeah, you're going to have a five-year rule still of getting the, well, no, let me back up.
Yeah. See, the opening and the converting are different, aren't they?
Yeah. And that's why it's confusing. There are 2 5-year rules. There's a 5-year Roth conversion rule that is 5 years from the time you convert till you can take it out without penalty.
Okay.
And now you got to hit 59 and a half too, to get the earnings out without no penalty. There's a 5-year contribution rule that says you must have an IRA in existence for 5 years before you can pull the contributions out. So let's say you're 58, you're gonna have to wait and you've never had a Roth IRA before. You start at 58, you're gonna have to wait till you're 63 to pull the money out without tax or penalty. Now you can always take the contribution amount out. Let's say you put in $6,000, but the earnings, you'll have to wait till 5 years hits.
Now I'm learning something here. This is really, really good. So I want to ask, because Matt's written the book on this, and he said, didn't you read my book? And I said, well, yeah, but I fell asleep halfway through. Yeah.
A lot of articles.
Sure. Okay. What happens if I open the Roth account when I'm 54 and I only put in $100? And then I put $7,000 in when I'm 58. Do I have to wait from the day I opened it or the day I contributed?
So for the first 5-year rule, not the conversion rule, the 5-year contributions, when you made your first contribution to the Roth IRA, 5 years. So that $100 you put in started the clock.
Okay.
You're done. You don't need to worry about you. That's the only time period you look at.
Okay. So any more money
Roth conversions, you got to look at every one and wait 5 years.
Okay. Woo, man, you're a stud, Matt. I will point out for those watching on YouTube, I am wearing a tie today. Matt Sorensen looks like crap. This is much like Gina Davis telling Tom Hanks in the movie A League of Their Own. Goes, gosh, you look like crap. She said something else, but Tom Hanks is like, we're going to win. Gina Davis comes. I love that scene. He's like, we're going to win when you know she's all pissy. Okay. Now, here's one of my points I wanted to make. Okay.
Okay.
When you want to start converting, Now we're going to get to the chunking time, you know, the income levels are going to, that's the grand finale here. But if you want to convert, here's another rule you got to think about. You have to convert traditional IRA money first before you can do a backdoor Roth. See, some people are like, well, I want to put money in a Roth at any income level. You said I can do it. Yeah, but you got to convert all of your traditional money first to Roth. Oh, okay. Which is not a bad thing. I mean, the goal is to get as much Roth as we can. But you can't do the backdoor Roth contribution and conversion until you convert everything else. Now, did I say that right, Matt?
Yeah, for IRAs, for traditional IRAs. Now, you can have traditional 401ks and stuff or employer plans, and that's cool. You can still do a backdoor Roth contribution. But, and just, you know, this is only for people that want to do a backdoor Roth in addition to this, is you make sure you do the conversion part first of your traditional IRAs.
Okay, but here's the loophole. And I had a call with a client 2 days ago on this. I was pretty excited about it, is that the client was already on it. He's like, I read Matt's book. I listened to your podcast. I got it. I go, what are you doing? He goes, I'm moving my traditional IRA into my 401k at work because I'm going to roll it to traditional into the 401k so I can do the backdoor Roth individually. And then I can go back and convert inside my 401k to Roth whenever the heck I want. Because once you turn those IRA money, that IRA money traditional into a 401k traditional, the rule of converting first is out the window. You don't have to worry about it. So that's the real tricky part. If some of you have access to a 401k, move that over to the 401k. Hopefully you can self-direct it there. And then do your backdoor Roth.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even if you had a solo K, you know, for those that have a business on the side, you can do the solo K, get those traditional IRA dollars over to a traditional solo K account too. So, and again, this piece here, I'm just making clear. If you're just wanting to convert some traditional dollars to Roth, don't worry about that. That's
high
the end. Honors little tidbit here for those that also are trying to do the backdoor Roth.
Okay. Can I ask, this is technical again. Some of you geeks out there are going to love this. This is why we did this podcast, the Directed IRA podcast, because we've got our Main Street podcast. If any of you haven't been to Main Street, we're hitting base hits all day long, writing off auto, writing off kids. We talk a little IRA, we're doing small business, partnerships, legal issues, yada, yada, yada. But this podcast, this is for you, the honors level. I mean, that's our goal.
Yeah.
If some of you are like a little overwhelmed, like going, wow, these guys are diving deep, go back and listen to our first 10 podcasts. Because we really build a foundation there where this podcast is making sense for those folks that have done that. Okay, here's another honors level question. Let's say you own a business, and this is on the conversion topic, Matt.
Okay.
You're not going to see this one coming. You're going to be like, ooh, Mark, that was a good question. Okay, ready?
All right.
Okay. Let's say I have a small doctor's office or a construction company or a plumbing business or online marketing, but I have employees, full-time employees. And I'd really like to have a solo 401k, but I can't. And if I go do a group 401k, I've got to deal with cross-testing and attribution rules, and I can't throw all this money that I would in a solo 401k. I got to deal with the group. So you go down this safe harbor route, which we're cool with. But you're like, I don't want to go do a group 401k, and I've got all this traditional IRA money over here, but I have a side business. Now, this is where we've debated a lot in our firm, and we're very cautious with our clients, that if you're the majority owner of a business with employees, it's very difficult to go open up a little solo 401k on the side for another business, because the ERISA rules, IRS rules, they say, you got to take care of your full-time employees before you go play in the solo. So a lot of times we don't do the solo because you can't contribute in the solo without taking care of your full-time employees and doing a group. But Matt, let's say I do have a little real estate business. I create some management income and I create a solo 401k, but I don't contribute to it. I just create a solo 401k in order to roll my money over and then keep that traditional IRA money in a solo 401k. But I'm not contributing. Do you think you could get around that? Or I see you smiling going, No.
Yeah, it ain't going to work.
I'm not even contributing. Come on.
I know it's going to be considered a rollover contribution. It's not going to work because you have employees in the other business, and you'd have to give them the same opportunities to be able to do the same thing. And so unfortunately, no. I hate being the guy that shuts, you know, good ideas like that down. I do. I mean, it's the worst. But that's okay. Better that I tell you now, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well,
worst shot, you know.
All right. Now we are to the unveiling of the brackets, the chunking strategy. We ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I never thought there was so much excitement for the unveiling of a tax bracket.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is March. You know, this is not our March Madness bracket.
This is, yeah. That's a little more exciting, actually.
Yeah. This is the tax bracket.
But this bracket can save you money.
Yeah.
Can your NCAA bracket save you money? No, it costs you money because you put money in the pool with your friends or at work and you're going to. The
secretary wins. Every time.
And the guy at your work that just guesses, that doesn't even know, you know, what team is what.
I swear, for years, and it's no jab at the females or secretaries. It's just funny. Our secretary would always win, and all these guys are using these matrixes to do their bracketology, watching ESPN until their eyes are, you know, held open by toothpicks. And then the secretary wins, and we're like, what was your strategy? She goes, oh, I just chose my favorite color in each game.
Yeah.
Every time.
I chose my favorite states. I picked all the states I've been to win. I haven't been to that state.
I'm not kidding. I've heard every one of them. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so look at this bracket. This is the seven tax brackets for a single individual. Okay? Now, we're going to do married. We're going to go to single first. There are seven tax brackets currently. And as you see here on the left side, we see 10, 12. Whoop, see that little jump? This is the premise of this principle. From 12%, we have a 10% jump up to 22%, then 24%, and then another, big jump up to 32%, then 35, 37. So there's seven brackets. So for those of you that are listening, driving down the road, we've got a graph here. That'd be the best way to say the x-axis going top to bottom is 37% at the top, then 35, 32, little window, then 24, 22, then a window, then 12, 10%. Okay, that's the x-axis. Then going left to right, we have our income levels. So from 0 to 40,000, a single individual is going to be in the 10 to 12% bracket. Then from 40 to 160,000 of adjusted gross income, again, this is after your standard itemized deductions, from 40 to 160,000, you're in the 22 to 24% bracket. And then from 160 to 207,000, you're 32. Then 207 to 518,000, you're at 35. And then at 518,000, you're 37% on. Now you'll see here, and I'll let Matt explain the strategy here. I'm just describing the diagram. You're going to see this little, I put the word trigger, this little trigger where a decision needs to be made. And that is at the $40,000 level, the $160,000 level, and I would argue at the $207,000 level. Because what we're dealing with is an increase in taxes at that trigger point of 10%, then 8%, and then 3%. So Matt, explain the strategy, please.
All right. So you can see there, as long as you keep increasing your income, let's go to 10 and 12%. Let's do the married one up to 80. That's easier to.
Oh, you want me to get the married one out there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, I'm married. Okay, you got single. Let's go single.
I'll slide up for the married one here in a minute.
Okay. All right. Let's stay there. Okay.
Okay. Staying the same.
Okay. Married just gives you a little more runway to play with here. That's what I was going to go there. Single, you only get up to 40%. That's, I'm talking about taxes. All right. I'm talking about taxes.
Yeah. Now, I need to point out here, my YouTube video is titled The Sweet Spot for Roth Conversions and Chunking. Now, maybe I have the most views on this channel for this topic because I have the word sweet spot in the video. You know, someone's up at late at night. Sweet spot? I'm watching this one. Oh, it's Roth conversion sweet spot. Not the sweet spot I was thinking of. But so I will point out.
It's a good financial tip, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So for those that have kids listening, I'm just going to say this final point. Make sure when you search for this video on YouTube, you try sweet spot Roth conversion or sweet spot Roth. Do not just search for the word sweet spot. I'm not liable for what you may find. Okay. So there you go.
Okay. Okay, well, let's look at the bracket, of course. Okay, single up to 40. Let's say you've made 30 grand that year. Okay, if I convert 10,000 of money from traditional to Roth, I'm in the same tax bracket. I'm still up to 40. I've kind of hit the limit there. I'm not bumping up on any additional income or amounts I convert 10% to 22. Okay, so you want to find where is your annual income typically every year? Look into this bracket here. Maybe you're in the next band here of the 22 to 24% that is up to 160 grand. Okay. Yeah. And you're going to jump another 8% once you go over 160. So you may want to find the amount, this is the sweet spot, so to speak, that you can convert that keeps you in the same tax bracket.
Yeah. I love it. I have an inside voice that was going to be a really good joke with, I was going to do some indications here, but that's when my wife says, inside voice, do not say it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Some of you would be very disappointed in me with some analogies here, but we're going to leave. Now, here's another point.
We're keeping this rating E for everyone.
E for everyone. Okay. Now, here's an important point. Some of you may go, Mark, I make a lot more than 40 grand, or I make a lot more than 160 grand. This doesn't help me, but slow down. Remember what I said earlier on. Look at your overall income based on maybe some losses from some real estate depreciation or some business ventures or some bad debt or who knows what. You want to look at your – Matt said, where are you normally? That's first question. But where are you going to be this year too? Are there some losses that might bring you down into a 24% bracket? And you're like, ooh, this is the year – where I can convert maybe 30 grand and still stay in the 24% bracket when normally you may not be. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Now keep in mind when we talk about the brackets, let's say you're converting, let's say you make 150 grand this year. Okay. And
this is single people.
All right.
Single people
making 150 grand. Making 150 grand. Okay. So you're in the 22 to 24% range here. And let's say that you convert another, let's say you convert 50 grand. Okay. Okay. It's going to bump you up to 200 of annual income. Now you've got another 10,000 that's going to be at this 22 to 24, but the other 40 grand you convert is going to be at a 32% rate. Okay. Now keep in mind, I just want to say, it's not like all of your income now goes to a 32% rate.
That's right.
It's just the additional amount once you get outside of the bracket. So in that example there, it'd be this 40 grand that I've gone over 160. So now I've got, so now that 40 grand is going to be at the higher 32% rate.
Okay. Now, for some of you that might have your brain spinning with Matt's last comment, take a breath. I'm going to explain this.
It helps to look at
the
picture when I'm talking about it.
Yeah. For those driving down the road, let me make an important point. You may not know this. This is called a progressive tax bracket. So what this means is if you make 40 grand, you're going to be taxed at 10% on the first, I don't know, what is it? I actually have it here. Let's be a little accurate here. Okay. Okay. So this is important, everybody. This is how it really works. And this is why Matt's point is important. If I made 40 grand, I'm paying 10% on approximately the first 10 and then paying 12% on the next 30. So I'm not paying 40% on or 12% on everything. It's a bracket. It goes up. So 10% on the first 10, 12% on the next 30. Then Matt says, I made 150. Oh, okay. Well, you did 10% on 10, 12% on 30. Now you're 22% on everything up to 85. And then 24% on the rest of it up to 150. Then you convert Roth. Okay, well, I've got 10 grand. I can keep at 24. And so that's, so your effective rate might be in the 20% range when you average all that together. But on the next dollar of income above 150, it's still 24. And then at 160, that next dollar is at 32. So that's the principle for some of you that may not have ever dealt with that. So
yeah.
So as an accounting firm, we're always running, what is your effective tax rate? What do you really pay in taxes on that 200 grand? Well, it's not going to be 32%. It's going to have all these little levels in between. Anyway. Okay, yeah. Married, Matt. Okay. There's your diagram on married. So give us some new numbers here.
Okay. So as I said earlier, married gives us a little more runway in the Roth conversion world. Okay.
Who knows what that means? I have no idea, but
yeah,
it could be good or bad.
So take that for what you will. Married or single people out there, you know, I don't know. So here's what we mean by that, of course. Just look in the brackets here. Now we're up to 80% of the 10 to 12%.
80 grand.
But there's a big 80 grand. 80 grand. But from 80 to 326,000, there's a lot of people. Now we're talking about the majority of you probably listening are in this 22 to 24% rate on you know, your income that you're making. So if you're like at 200 grand, let's say, in income for that year, going from 200 to 300 to an $100,000 conversion, you're still sitting at the same rate. You're not bumping into the next rate. You've got a lot of runway there, so to speak, to be converting and staying in the same tax rate, not bumping into the next bracket, which again, the next bracket is 8% more.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And so the trigger for those driving down the road, or if you're able to watch this on YouTube, the trigger is at 326,000. That's when you would say, uh-oh, I better not go over that. I'm going to jump up 8% on that next dollar. The trigger, of course, was at 80 and 326. And look at that span. That's a lot of money you could be converting at a very lower, much lower rate that you might have in the future. Okay, which brings us to the bad news. Again, not trying to be politically bent here, but Joe Biden has been very clear. I want to repeal everything Trump did. I hate it. Well, we're hoping he's going to pick and choose things people don't like or his constituents and then pound some other ones that some Trump voters may have not liked. But the point is, he's already said, I want to go to a 39% bracket on income over 450,000, married or single or something. We don't know again where that bracket break will be, but he wants to go to 39% at a much lower level. Right now, 37 kicks in at 622, and 35 kicks in at 414. Well, if he has his wish at 400 grand, you could go from 35 to 39 in the 400 range somewhere. So this is now most experts, and we tend to believe as well, tax policy is a forward effective date type thing. So if Biden gets a law passed this year, there's a good chance they're going to be beating it up all summer long, and it'll go into effect January 1st, 2021, which is our hope. 2022. So January 1st, 2022, these new brackets would come into play. So again, this podcast and these videos we've prepared on YouTube are very, very important for 2021, because you could be looking down the barrel at a much higher bracket next year, and this could be the year to clean house.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that politically correctly?
Yeah. And I think we've seen this before. You know, as the Republicans came in, they said they were going to decrease tax rates, and they did. Yeah. Yeah. These rates, if Biden just rolls back the Trump tax cuts, and I don't know, Trump tax cuts is generous. That's really, you can call the Republican tax cuts, but you know, you're going to see these same rates, but you're going to see you get to the higher rate faster, even without adding the 39% top end bracket. So, so that's going to push everyone into a little bit higher income tax bracket, and that's how we, you know, that they're just pay for things that the government's doing right now. So we'll see how that comes, and that's you just got to deal with that. You know, whatever your political leanings are for tax policy right now, For those wanting to convert, it's a tax hit now. We just want to take the lightest hit possible, okay? So if you wait a year, it might be a little more painful when the rates are higher. But again, this is where we get to chunking too.
Yeah.
Talk about chunking yet? Because we talked about the brackets here. We kind of talked about it.
Where chunking comes in is you would like, if I may.
Yeah.
Let me say. And I want, you know what? Before I get chunking, let me hit another political point though that is more.
I'll talk more politics. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. This is more Biden side of the argument. Everybody out there, you may not know this, when the Republicans, let's not call it Trump, I like what Matt said, Trump can do this on his own with without the Republicans on his, you know, going off on this, Paul Ryan being a big part of that, the Republicans said, we're going to do all these tax changes, but they're going to phase out. They were all temporary. So in 2024, we're going back to the old crappy rates anyway. And that's why those that were really tuned in to the political arena last year when everybody was voting, whoever's in the office right now, which is President Biden, is going to have a chance to either let those just automatically go back to the crappy rates or even make them worse. And so don't think that we were, you know, Trump didn't or the Republicans didn't make this permanent. So we were going to be kind of in a crap fest anyway. That's in Biden's defense. Okay.
That was the Republicans, by the way, playing politics. This is the only political thing I'll say, because this is the one that did tick me off. That the whole reason the Republicans did that is to make you have to vote them back into office.
Yeah.
Why would they not make it permanent? They made the corporate tax cuts permanent.
Yeah.
21 down from 35 to 21. That permanent forever. Individuals, we decreased the rate on you guys like a couple percent each. It's only good for 10 years. You're going to have to vote us back if you want to keep that. That's what it was.
It was very self-serving. So for, you know, on the Biden side of things, like I said, that Biden voters, you should know that, you know, that was, you know, crappy thing.
I just wanted to make sure that we insulted Republicans and Democrats on the same podcast.
We're about insulting everybody. Yeah.
That's what we call fair and balanced.
Oh my gosh. All right. Now here's what chunking basically means. It's really simple now. You want to, it's kind of a two-part issue. You want to look at how much do I have in traditional IRA money? Can I move it to a 401k and be a little more, to open the door to maybe a backdoor Roth contribution, separate topic maybe. But you want to look at how much you have in traditional money. And if the goal is, which we would propose should be your goal, is to get that to Roth money as quickly as possible, you want to start looking at two things. I would look at your asset allocation. What's in your traditional IRA that has the highest probability of going up in value quickly? That's what we want to convert first. That's part, and you want to chunk at it. You want to take that chunk. There's different concepts here, but you want to take that chunk that's going to appreciate most quickly and focus on that first. Then you want to choose that amount or that chunk that I can chop away at and get converted without going into a massive new bracket. That's a chunk. How would you explain it, Matt? That's kind of two chunks to look at. What's appreciating quickly and what's going to keep me in the lowest bracket without kicking me into a new one.
Yeah. And I just think about chunking it over time, you know, and not trying to, you know, eat the Roth conversion all in 1 year. Mm-hmm. So if you're jumping up to this, let's say the 22 to 24% range, up to 32, which I think is a lot of people, that's an 8% jump. If you're like, all right, I got another 100,000 I can convert this year, then still stay in 20 to 22, but I have a $200,000 traditional IRA I want to get to Roth. Okay, do 100 this year and 100 next year. Yeah. Don't do the next 100 and go up 8% when you're going to have that range available next year. Even people, like, I always love clients converting at the end of the year, because I'll be like, let's just convert half now on December 31st, the other half on January 1st. Break it up into two tax years. That's the easy, you know, just split it up between 2 years, but get it all done kind of all in one swoop with two conversions. Okay. Or let's say you've got a large account you're trying to get to Roth. You might want to chunk it over 5, 3, 6, I don't know. Just that's where you're going to look at your sweet spot here, if you will, what works for you and your income. higher you get to the higher bracket. It's all unique. Everyone's unique in this scenario. Yeah,
communicate about. Oh boy. Okay. Now, here.
Don't even go there. Excuse me. Yeah. I was gonna. Yeah.
You stepped right into that one. So, I think that also this is about what your long-term goal is in your overall portfolio of assets too. There is one last thing to say here is we meet financial advisors too that are like, we got a client here with way too much money in their retirement account. Let's get that in some to something that's not in a retirement account. And Ed Slott, he's probably the most pronounced retirement advisor over the last 20 years. He would say people get to a point where they have too much in a retirement account and it's going to affect their family in it with inheritance tax possibly, or they're going to have what's called income in respect of a decedent. So I just want to address these naysayers out there too that go, well, I've got too much in a retirement account anyway. I need to go out and buy real estate or do some other things. Well, I would agree with that when it's in traditional money, because your family that inherits that IRA or your spouse is going to have to pay income tax on it. But with a Roth, it's tax-free forever. So don't go down that rabbit hole of having too much in retirement. I just don't think you can have too much in a Roth, Matt. Can you?
Right. I agree. I mean, like, that's a problem. Yeah. And I've got too much money in my Roth IRA. I mean, if those are the problems you're dealing with in your life, it's pretty good. All right. But here's the cool thing about the Roth is if your kids or whoever inherits it, they get 10 years to keep investing the thing as Roth dollars tax free that they can keep investing and try and grow it another 10 years to pull it out and get all the whole thing tax free. They might be able to double it in 10 years from what you give them. So that's pretty cool too. There's no other thing that they can inherit it from you that they could keep for another 10 years and keep trying to invest and it come back out tax free in 10. So as Mark and I have talked on prior shows, if you could be at the negotiating table with your family and let's say your parents pass away, you got three assets each worth $1 million and you got two siblings, there's three of you. If one of those assets is a Roth IRA, let's say the other one's a piece of raw land worth $1 million, the other one's the family home that's $1 million, go take the Roth IRA that's $1 million.
Every time.
That's so much more valuable. You get 10 years to keep playing with that thing to make it come out tax-free. Can you do that with the land? Nope. Can you do it with the family home? Nope.
Nope.
Anyways.
Well, everybody, we hope that you're tolerant of our sometimes off-color jokes and our stupid humor as we try to keep these topics palatable, interesting, fun. Mm-hmm. But we want to thank you for spending an hour or so with us and on a topic that is very difficult to tackle. So we do try to have fun with it. So thanks so much, everybody. We wish you the best. Don't give up. Keep working hard. Matt, any final sage words of wisdom for our—
No, I just say Corey's going to be the one doing this, the free book. So so we'll get that out there. And then on the tax brackets things, I think this is a pretty good sketch, Mark. I like the tax bracket sketch. Well, you might want to sign that and we could probably turn that into an NFT and maybe auction it off.
Yeah. Here we go. I'm going to sign it right now.
Yeah. You and Beeple, I don't know that it'll go for 69 million, but maybe six.
Boom. Okay.
6.9.
We will only give out two of these. So you'll get two people will get a book and then I will send you an autographed bracket that you can use next year in March Madness.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll see everybody. Talk to you next week.
Thanks.